It's time to get brutally honest.
Sam, how long do you think it took me to run the 10K?
I thought you would still be running it right now, to be honest with you.
Dude, go to hell, man. Get this guy.
Let me tell you how long it's going to take me to run a 10K. Forever, because I'm never doing it.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
There's a confidence boost you're looking for to kick off 3 hours of radio. The clip of Sam Mitchell just carving us.
Attacking us for our effort.
Thought he was ignorant yesterday.
He was good yesterday, though. He went after all three of us on different levels. Went after you, Brian, for your hot take on the Raptors and how they should be rinsed or change the culture.
Well, apparently Masai Ujiri agrees with me.
I think that's what the hot take is.
He was skirting around one major problem.
What's that?
All he talked about is how he wants to win and take his team to the next level. There is no next level as long as you know who's in Cleveland. So he can talk about whatever he wants, and he even mentioned the words, if there was a different path, things would have worked out differently. That's right. If you didn't play Cleveland in the second round, you might have got by another opponent, and then Cleveland would have kicked your ass in the conference final.
I know. I love that we were in the final four a year ago.
Yeah, and if there was a different path, so you got Cleveland instead of another team in the second round, what are you talking about, dude? You want to talk about your team getting? There is no other level.
It's the exact same result. Now, I'm not surprised he didn't come out and just say LeBron 15,000 times and then step off and walk away. Everyone knows
he was
the elephant.
We were wide-eyed in that series. We looked, afraid. We didn't take shots. We didn't make shots. But it's like, dude, they killed you. That's what they did.
Well, and how's that going to change? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Garnett was on TNT last night, and I thought he brought up a great point. He said, he believes they need to blow it up here, or at least go in a different direction. He didn't explain exactly how he would go about it or what he wants to see happen with the Raptors. Mm-hmm. But he brought up a great point. He said, listen to their two superstars, or their stars in Lowry and DeMar. The way they were talking about LeBron, as if he was a god and you couldn't possibly beat him, and what do you want out of me?
He talked about Daryl Sutter in Calgary playing against Detroit. Why don't you just go ask them for their autographs?
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like in a lot of ways. So if DeMar and Kyle, at this point in their careers, veteran guys who have been around for a long time, clearly didn't believe it was possible to beat LeBron, what makes you think they're going to believe they can beat him next year or the year after that? It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I forgot about that, the Daryl Sutter speech where he came in before the game and just said, guys, if you want, go over. I'll give you 10 minutes. Go over and get Stevie Yzerman's autograph and Chelios and Lidstrom. Get it out of the way.
What happened? Did you win that series?
No. We lost in six, I believe. I had an incident.
Was it close? Did it feel as if you guys were in the series?
We had a pretty good series. Quite honestly, that was it was him just being sarcastic. But, it was a good series.
Well, and that probably is what had to happen here. Now, if I was Dwayne Casey and listening to Masai Ujiri today, I wouldn't feel great about my security.
I would definitely not. Culture changed. I don't like the way we play. We need to make a lot of adjustments in the way we play.
That screams
to me. That didn't sound.
That screams major overhaul here.
Jamie, it screams overhaul because he even said, he goes, in this day and age, I can't get a whole new bunch of players. So guess what that means?
Well, listen to this quote. This was Masai Ujiri earlier today. Quote, I don't think it's a matter of changing players, but how do we change the way we play, the way we approach the game, end quote. So
if
it's not about the players.
The coach.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he's going to fire Casey, but at the very least what he did today was put him on notice that you will end up being the scapegoat if things go wrong next year.
I don't think a comment like that, Brian, is putting a coach on notice, because he mentioned a lot of times, we've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over, and it's not getting us past the hump. What he means is probably not getting by Cleveland. So I'm sure this message has been sent. It didn't sound a lot like they were even on the same page.
It didn't necessarily, but a lot of this is on Masai as well. Yeah. Masai brought in these players that play this one-dimensional style.
Well, that's the luxury of being the president. You can just down the chain, oh, you didn't do this and you didn't do that.
But he's got one bullet. Really? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he?
Yeah, he inherited Casey. Casey was a Colangelo hire.
You moved the coach out, and if nothing changes, you basically bought yourself another coaching regime, whether that's a year or 18 months. But after that, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of general managers or people in the higher chair, they've got one bullet in the chamber, and you use it, you dust the coach off, you look for it. I mean, that those comments are damning. The way that we played, the way we approached the game, that's on the coach. Unless Dwayne Casey sits down with him at the end of the year and says, okay, I'm going to try a different way. Like, maybe that's something they've discussed, which, to your point, Brian, it could be that he doesn't fire him, but says Dwayne's got a different way of going at it.
Which
with
is almost
group.
A bizarre comment, because they had the same amount of wins as the Cleveland Cavaliers during the regular season. And now what? There has to be a total change in philosophy?
Well, and that's the truth. You can change whatever you want. You can bring in John Wooden if
you want.
It
all comes back to the same thing, whether it's what Masai just said or the coach or the play. They're a good team. They're going to win 50 games, or they can if they bring back the right pieces. But
right,
that group of people can't get to the next level.
They're in a very similar situation today to the one the Blue Jays were in at the end of last season. Two successful years, lots of wins, into the playoffs, win a round. And then what did they do? They continued to grow the same way that they had been growing in the past, and they decided to bring back Gibbons.
Right.
And I wonder, considering the way things have started, although this is not Gibbons' fault,
right,
when you consider all of the injuries and what's going on, and believe me, we'll touch on the lineup card tonight going into this game. I have never seen anything like this. This lineup the Jays are putting forth tonight should be in the Hall of Fame. Honestly, it is
shame or fame.
Shame, I should say, Hall of Shame. It is the worst lineup card I think I have seen this team put forward in years.
Really,
we'll tell you about it in a moment. But this is a difficult spot for every executive in pro sports, not exclusive to basketball, baseball, every single sport. Making the decision that being very good isn't good enough. It's a very difficult spot to be in, because you know your owners are sitting there saying, yeah, we want a title, but we don't mind 50 wins, sellouts for the 41 home games.
Well, when does being a realist factor into that, too? Like, if I'm Masai and I sit down with ownership and they're like, you got to find a way to get past LeBron and Kyrie, I'd just be like, well, go ahead and find, like,
well, you can't bring anyone in here that is going to find a way to beat LeBron.
No.
So that's why my point
Golden
I was making
State
yesterday.
State was talking about it in their post-game pressers yesterday about Utah. They're like, yeah, they're a good team. They challenged us.
No, they didn't.
Are they going to challenge them next year?
No.
They'll whoop
not
their
a chance.
Ass again next year.
Golden
the
State,
year after that, they'll whoop their ass again next year.
The Warriors are 8-0. The Cavs are 8-0.
I have never been so disinterested watching a basketball. I love watching Golden State, and it's like, this is not even a competition.
But you can't wait for the finals.
The finals will
be
amazing.
And that's the one thing the NBA has going for itself, is that it will end on a high note, because that final series between Cleveland and Golden State will be must-watch TV. It will be absolutely epic. And it should be a blast to watch. Everything before it is completely irrelevant, completely predictable, and quite frankly boring. I think this is a crisis that the NBA is dealing with right now. There are 28 teams in the league that don't matter. Just don't matter. It doesn't make it. Like, look at what is happening with the Raptors right now. 51 wins, second round, and people are sitting here talking about them as if they're the worst team in the league, or that you have to make these major changes. But as I said yesterday, I think they have to consider that. Consider where LeBron will be 2-3 years down the road.
The only chance you got is if you're a team like Milwaukee, who's got the Greek freak, and they can build around it, and he's going to be, like, so-called the next one. Other than that, like,
maybe he can beat LeBron in a couple of years. But
Kyle and DeMar will never beat LeBron.
No, that's the truth. Like, it's just the reality. They're very good players. It'll be a very good core. They'll win a ton of games. They are not winning a title if Kyle, DeMar, and Ibaka is the big three. Just, it's not happening.
I agree, but I just don't want them to, like, I think the fan base, to be honest, will take 50 wins and playoffs every year, because wouldn't you want that? And in the one year that something does happen, like, I just, the minute that you think you're going to blow it up and try and build it a different way, you never know if it's going to work.
And that's the big gamble.
That's
right?
A gamble.
That's the gamble that Masai would be taking if he goes to ownership and says, I want to take a step or two back to take two or three forward, is that if it goes wrong, then I'm the guy that screwed up
on him.
The golden ticket, because the Raptors do not have a rich history of winning or even making the playoffs.
Right.
And the past 4 years they've been there. The past 2 years they've gone to at least the second round.
So they've had like you said.
And they sell out their home attendance is top 5 or 7 in the league. They got a good thing going in terms of making money. But that's what I'm saying, Noodles. You got to ask yourself if you're Masai Ujiri, is that enough? Is that the legacy you want? That you're the guy who can always say, well, LeBron got me. Or do you want to really take a run at trying to get him?
Well,
the way they're currently built, I don't see it happening.
Well, if somebody had it on Bleacher Report or it was just some quote, how Michael kept
Reggie Miller and the Knicks and all those great players, Ewing, from winning titles because he was
around.
Look
at how many titles Tiger Woods cost Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Adam Scott, all those guys. They had they just had no chance in a lot of those majors. So what are you going to do? Until the guy, I don't know. I think Masai has a fair point where it's like, what are we supposed to do, wait around? And
That's why I'm saying. I'm the other way. I think the fan base adores this group. I think they bring a lot of success to the city of Toronto. I don't know. I think you try and continue to tinker, but it's hard because, like you said, Brian, you blow it up. There's no chance. Maybe you try a different route.
But at least it's a different sales pitch.
Yeah, it is.
And I understand it's easy for me to say because it's not my money.
Right.
I'm not invested. It's not my gig. It's not. I'm not Bell, Rogers, or Tannenbaum sitting there saying, wait a minute, I don't mind making this kind of money.
Right.
But if you come back with Kyle and Ibaka and DeMar and a couple
don't
of different
pieces.
Do you
think that was the biggest question that only needed to be asked today? If you can't beat him with Kyle, I know he didn't play, but why do you want to lock him up long term for massive money if you still can't beat him with him?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Like what I would like to hear Masai say, and I know he won't give you the answer right now because he hasn't figured out what he's going to do. If he brings in a new coach, that's a big change. Right? That's a big change, and you got to grant him that. If he trades Valanciunas or finds someone to take Damari Carroll, although I can't see that happening, or somehow works out a big trade and brings in a big piece.
Right.
Next October, when the season is ready to begin, what I think is going to be a very difficult sales pitch, but one that I'm very intrigued by, and I'll ask him this come next October. There's a lot of Raptors fans listening to this show right now. Explain to them why you think this team can actually beat the Cavs. Explain to me why this upcoming season in 17-18 will be any different than the past two. And I'm not sure he's going to be able to give me an answer.
I think he even said, he goes, maybe we can invent a new way to play other than what's happening right now. Don't worry about the three ball and three-point shooting.
How about old school?
Maybe we could come up with our own way to win.
How about old school? Bring some goons in.
Just go out there and start fights.
Not fights, but
John Travolta.
Hard to play against.
You know what they need?
What?
Teen Wolf.
They do need
it. It's very simple. Find a way to get Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf, you'll win titles.
But wasn't there a team that was known as a kind of a tough team?
Yeah, the Knicks and the Pacers. The Pistons did win it in 04. They did get it in 04. And they were
how did they? They were a badass kind of group.
They
right?
were. They were a tough team. They were built appropriately. They kind of stumbled across a couple of players that took off the way people didn't see it happening.
They were badass back in the day.
They were, and they won their titles, and that was in the 80s. But they're also loaded with Hall of Famers. I mean, were they badass? Yes. But Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas and Rodman and they were great, great players. But anyway, as for the Jays lineup tonight, they had a big win last night.
Yeah.
And Edwin got his video montage and his big applause, and we all expected that to be the case.
Stroh Show,
Kevin Pillar with that big, huge catch.
The dive.
The dive. And you guys questioned whether or not that was for the highlight reel.
No, he's
was
a highlight a Sports reel Center guy. Catch? He's a walking highlight reel. That's
I'll tell you
is.
One thing. I watch the catches. He's an unbelievable. He's a crowd favorite. They call him Superman. But I do believe in some instances that he it's not necessary.
you could run it down.
Honestly, it could be a catch and maybe a fall to the ground or a tumble or something. But I think he adds it for effect. That's just what I see.
You think he's trying to get on SportsCenter?
So if it's a goalie, a goalie save,
is it a SportsCenter catch?
He's doing the windmill.
I don't think that a guy that makes that much money, with that lifestyle, thinks about SportsCenter.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
You're so stupid right now to make that comment that a guy would think about being on SportsCenter.
I think athletes do that. They think, in the NBA, it happens all the time.
Did you ever make a save to think that you would want to be on SportsCenter?
No, I had
when you grabbed the puck and you went like this
windmill?
And faked it and windmilled it, did you ever think, Kate and Natasha will be discussing this.
No,
later.
People would
Thank
yell
you.
Like
the answer is no.
Highlight reel. The only time
guys
I
don't
ever
think
had
like that, and you're ridiculous if you think like that.
I never.
Oh,
thought
I
of
think
it.
They do though. The I'm telling you, I think
who
they
would
do.
Know us or you?
Well, you guys played a different sport.
It doesn't matter. You think Kevin Pillar honestly thinks about SportsCenter?
I think he likes being on SportsCenter. I think he likes the idea of being called Superman and making these
it's
spectacular
cool.
catches.
The fans call him Superman, not Kate and Natasha.
Yes,
well,
they
I think
do.
They do.
Okay. Of course they do.
But do you, well, so Kate and Natasha came up with the nickname Superman.
I never said they came up with it, but you're telling me they don't? They've never said Superman during one of their SportsCenter highlights?
I'm sure they have, but they didn't come up with it.
What does that matter?
I just think the idea of an athlete doing something for SportsCenter.
I think we live in the SportsCenter era. I think we live in the highlight era. A lot of kids grew up, especially in the States, how do I get on ESPN? Being on ESPN was a status maker for a lot of people. For a lot of players.
Well, here's something that I knew after the game that I was
rolling along
on.
And you were doing good and you just threw that one out.
I've got a good SportsCenter story. I knew after the game that I was going to be on SportsCenter for the wrong reason. When I got scored on at Madison Square Garden in overtime, we lost, I think it was 1-0. And Leach scored, Leach or Messier, it was a 2-on-1. I broke my stick and went to throw it, and my blocker came off and went over the glass and got caught in the netting. And I just said, to hell with it. I'm not going to fish it out. One of my teammates, Scotty Nickel, fished it out. And then when the dust had settled in the shower, he came in, and he was laughing so hard. He's like, you're going to be on SportsCenter tonight. He joked about it.
And were you in, did I you was, end up on SportsCenter?
It was the Alka-Seltzer upset stomach play of the night.
On ESPN?
I think it was on SportsCenter or one of the two, yeah.
Well, it must have been on ESPN.
Yeah, because it was at the Garden. It was the all I remember is Alka-Seltzer upset stomach play of the night.
You made it, Noodles. You made it.
For the wrong reason.
It's called a TV catch. Like when anyone
right.
goes above and beyond
I didn't
necessary.
Think of it
it's
when I was
catch.
Doing it.
Catch.
That's going to be
a highlight reel catch. Well, Pillar is leading off tonight. Let me just run down 1 through 9 and who's on the mound for the Cleveland Indians of the movie Major League. Pillar hitting leadoff tonight. Carrera.
Serrano.
Yeah. Well, Willie Mays Hayes in the one spot. Carrera 2. Bautista, who got thrown out again last night, just keeps striking out. Did you see him just go crazy in the dugout?
He's had enough.
He's losing his mind.
He's a mess.
Well, everyone is concluding that he's done.
Yeah.
And he knows it, he hears it, and really he can't, what kind of response does he have?
Can you imagine if they, like, somewhat met his wishes and gave him the monster?
Last year at $150
million? If he was getting paid $30 million and had 3 or 4 more years left.
You'd be throwing up.
Shapiro and Atkins would
be booted out the door.
Be in big trouble. Morales in the 4 spot, Smoke 5, Goins 6, Barney 7, Coughlin 8. Mike Ullman 9, and Mike Bolsinger is starting for them tonight.
We should call Ryan O'Neill, ask him what he thinks of that lineup tonight and what he's going
to... Yeah, we might have to cold call him.
Let's call your brother and just...
see what he says about that.
1 through 9 and the starting pitcher tonight. This honestly
looks... We
might
have to do a Jays review with him. Just cold call him and say, what are your thoughts?
It looks like a split squad team, like first week of spring training. This is who they sent on the road to play the Twins in Fort Myers.
Not good.
Right?
It's not good.
But they are. They're banged up.
They
they're
are.
A banged up group. You
exactly.
Can't, you can't plan around injuries. That's
nope,
the
no
unfortunate
question.
Part.
Anyway, big win last night.
Yes.
Although the Yankees keep winning, too. They've won 6 in a row now. Duffy's going to join us in studio. Chris Pronger just after 5:05. So we'll get into what happened with the Caps and Pens. And everyone's buzzing about Crosby. And
yeah,
man, that was a violent tumble he took into the boards last night. So we'll discuss that with Duffy. We'll tee up game 6 between the Sens and the Rangers. And we'll get flight updates from Duffy from over the weekend, where he had a companion with him that survived. We'll get him to give us the play-by-play on that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Chris Pronger will join us around 5:05. We've got to get into this Matt Harvey story. Also, a really strange story that may or may not feature the head coach of the Florida Gators. I don't know
really?
If you guys saw that
I
picture that was
that.
Circulating around Twitter yesterday.
On the dolphin or whatever?
Yeah, the naked guy that was on the shark.
I thought that was
a dead shark?
A dead shark, naked guy, plump, big smile, and people are claiming it was the head coach of the Florida Gators.
Wow.
We also might have to do Dildo Gate.
Mets clubhouse?
Yes.
We didn't really get to that yesterday.
Dildo Gate is something else.
You know, my favorite part of that is on some of the sites how they pixeled out the thing, but they just pixeled
it out.
You're
allowed to say dildo.
Okay. I don't
don't
know.
It's
not a word that feels comfortable.
Yeah, no. It's not.
Sex toy.
Yeah, they pixeled it out in the shape that you could tell exactly what it was still. You needed a few more pixels.
Why is
they
he plugging in area. A massive dildo in his stall?
Well, I don't know if it was Harvey. Like, no one knows who did it, but the Mets' official Twitter account snapped a picture of the player of the game, whoever that was.
Right.
And then in the background...
Couple stalls over is...
Yeah. Well, it was blatantly a prank. They knew what they were doing. I don't think it was just hanging in the stall, you know, for usage in the future. I think it was probably there for a reason.
That's the unfortunate part about that stuff, because it's probably a gag gift or whatever, but now it'll go viral.
It's all over Twitter.
With Hayes, I bet you someone put it there. They probably take a shot of the player of the game the same time in the dressing room every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this was the idea of, let's put this there and see if anybody notices.
Strategically placed.
They knew exactly what they're doing. It was a prop. Yeah. It was a prop. But
you
this
never
guy.
Know, though. Guys might have plans afterwards.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in my stall.
This guy, Jim McElwain, though, man, is he in a tough spot? Head coach of the Gators. It looks just like him. Like, if you look at a picture of him and this slob on
I'm out of the
shark.
Loop on this one. You got to show me the pics.
Okay, just Google Jim McElwain shark.
We're going to break soon, aren't we?
All right, this is what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you an update. We'll get Duffy in here. We'll get into what happened with Crosby and the Caps and the Pens last night, and we'll let you see a picture of Jim McElwain. And we'll decide whether or not we think it's the head coach of the Gators who is laying naked on top of a dead shark. That's a tease. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, so Duffy's in here. We've all seen the picture of the naked guy on top of the shark. And we've all seen a picture of Jim McElwain, the head coach of the Florida Gators football team. And...
It's close.
Yes,
it's,
guy.
There's a real resemblance,
isn't
there?
I can't wait.
It's definitely him.
I can't wait for the Crichton Jordan face to be put on there and all the other faces to be superimposed.
But
this guy is.
Unlike a steroid positive test, like, you can say that's not me. Like, Photoshop,
Well, Deadspin, reached out to the school, and this is what they came back with in response. Quote, "He's told us it's not him," end quote.
Yeah, but if they want to do some research, to go kill that shark, you got to get a boat guy, a guide. Like, you can make phone calls and say, was this guy here recently?
But wouldn't you say that comment means they're leaving some doubt?
Like, he told us?
Photoshop is the same as my account's been hacked. Like, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because people are so good at it now, you could say that for anything. I mean, you could have a shot of you... You know, passed out on a plane, being dragged down the hallway.
Yeah, because we did that screwing around.
Yeah, so we did that.
So funny.
People, by the way, I flew with O to Ottawa, and we took a couple of photos and posted them on Instagram. And he was actually fine, but he made some faces that made it look like he was either medicated or
just
in
high.
And then O says, "Why don't we do the United scene, and you guys can drag me down the aisle." And there's people on the plane. We're waiting to deboard.
Well, as opposed to him being the mature one and saying, "Jeff, that's stupid." He goes, "Yeah, let's do that."
So we did it. And then I was about to post it, and Jeff and I had a good look at each other and said, "No, this won't go over well with the bosses." And so we ended up doing the mature thing and not posting, and I just sent it to you guys instead.
That's right. I was wondering about that because I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen that.
But you see, you're good guys.
Yeah, you said
we wouldn't sue you guys.
Oh, you didn't post that?
No, I didn't post that.
That was really funny.
But here's the thing. But that's what we're getting at. Somewhere along the way, somebody really screwed this coach.
Yeah.
So that's probably his buddy who takes the photo, and his buddy probably sends it to another buddy and says, "Don't share this." And it goes to another buddy.
Yeah,
and eventually you get a jerk buddy.
We've all had golf trips where you're just... You're crushed, but I don't know what the thought process is to say I'm gearing down and I'm going to hump the whale.
I don't know either.
Or the shark.
Me neither. That's the thing. Like, I don't... This is a whole different level of debauchery.
Jamie, I would naked never, on a shark?
No,
that's a new,
I've never done that. I don't like boats, so I wouldn't be on a boat.
No, but I'm saying the thought process.
Okay, but hold on. Take, this won't be good radio, but take a moment of silence.
Okay.
And think of your worst moment or a couple of your worst liquefied moments of your life. Because I know in my college years I didn't do that, but I did some things that would not look good on Twitter.
Yeah.
I
mean,
well, do you think this is a fireable offense? If he ends up coming out in a week and goes, "You got me. It happened. This is what." Do you think they fire him?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
just embarrassment for life.
But you know, like PETA and all the animal activists.
Oh, yeah,
that's how this got started. An animal activist, somehow she came across the pic and posted on Twitter and said, "Can we find out who
dead.
This guy is?"
Isn't it?
I know, but it's, you know, you're humiliating the dead shark. I know, Duffy, but we're dealing
by
with...
By rubbing your nuts on it?
I would suggest that's pretty humiliating, wouldn't
it
you say?
It is humiliating.
I don't know.
I still don't know what he's up to, this character. He's naked lying on a shark.
He's goon. You know
he's got it.
And he's a beefaroni,
he's
too.
He's a portly-looking individual.
He's the coach of a major... program.
Well, that's like, the thing.
If it's Joe Blow who's working at the factory, why are you getting naked on top of the shark? But this is the coach of the Florida Gators.
All right, we all have kids.
Yes.
Let's say somehow we got a five-star quarterback living in our house, and McElwain shows up at our house to recruit him. Do you ask him?
I would say, listen, my son will come to your school if you admit you did that. Or you tell me, I want the straight scoop. Because I want somebody
to have
who
a man conversation with him to say, look, what were you all pissed up on the boat and you just geared down?
Exactly.
And
right, but if he admits it, do you say, okay, like, my kid's coming to Florida?
Yeah, but just make sure he doesn't end up on a boat with you. That's what I would say.
You know the players are going to take this and run with it.
God,
there's going to be shark posters all over the room.
Yeah.
And
every time they catch a pass, they'll be like humping the shark in the end zone looking at him.
That's what Florida State will do when they score on him.
Oh,
that's
for
true.
Sure.
The shark hump.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
This, you're right. Outside of the animal.
The Jaws soundtrack followed by
porno.
Bow, 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 bow.
I think you just did Seinfeld, not porn.
Either way.
It's all the same.
As long as, I mean, the animal activists kind of ruin it for me. But outside of that, like, there wasn't really that much harm done other than the guy embarrassing himself.
I think he did it. I think it's him. I absolutely think it's
McElwain. I think he's had 1,000 beer. He's been out in the sun, and he's naked, and he decides to dive on this fish.
Yeah. Anyway.
The buddy code, though, it's like when you have a buddy, your best friend or something, and you pull something like that, as redonkulous as it is, it's like a known rule that if it goes anywhere, your house is getting burnt down.
For sure.
Like that is just...
Think about it, though. How many parties have we all been to where guys passed out and people draw penises on his face? Or do all the stupid things that
adults... That's not humping
doing.
A shark naked.
I understand that. But there are certain levels. It starts with stuff like that. I mean, we all think of what we've done or what we've placed ourselves in compromising positions where if somebody snapped a picture, you're like, man, this could go south. This guy's one of them. He's probably gooned up on a yacht.
Oh, look at the smile on this guy.
50 of his buddies or 20 of his buddies, and that happens.
Well, it's out there now, and there's no pulling it back, and he's going to have to deal with it. James Duffy in here. We got Chris Pronger on in about half an hour. So everyone's buzzing about not the outcome of the game. Like, people are forgetting that the Caps have tied the series up, and they dominated
last night. That was one of the worst games by a really good team in the playoffs that I've ever seen. Like that, the Penguins were horrible.
You know what it reminded me of was that Maple Leaf Caps game, the final Tuesday of the regular season. Remember, it was like dominance.
Yeah.
It was such a one-sided affair. And I'm watching the game. I'm thinking Pittsburgh looks brutal.
But
maybe it's that the Caps figured something out. Maybe we got to give the Capitals more credit because they've found a way to turn their game around over the past four periods. Brilliant. Yet,
but I don't even think it's. I think it's beyond that. I think when it was 3-1 Pittsburgh. That the Caps, weren't that bad. No. We were all ready to write the same story on the Caps because they've done it so often. But if you really looked hard, they weren't playing that badly. They were getting out goaltended, right,
yeah.
Noodles?
Yeah, Noodles.
But they were playing
Fleury
okay.
Fleury was the difference because I would come in here every day and say, Caps outplayed them. They outchanced them. They outshot them. But Fleury was a difference and timely goals. I mean, Washington's mistakes were massive mistakes. You're allowing Hagelin to walk right downtown. You're allowing Crosby or Malkin or a bad penalty.
I think last year they maximized what each goaltender did. They knew when to get Murray out, and they knew when Fleury came back, when to get him out. I wonder if Murray was healthy, if it would have been last night where it was like, okay, now you go in.
Well, he hasn't played in a while. That's the only problem is it's you can't give him now.
Is he ready?
No, I don't think so because Tristan Jarry's still backing up. So I.
You're speaking hypothetically, and
yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
You're right, if they're healthy
it does
enough.
Feel like Fleury last night
might have maxed out,
may have jumped the shark.
Well, they're starting to
excuse me,
jump the shark.
Yeah, you got to change that phrase now.
I guess.
He may have humped the shark.
He may have humped the shark last night, and yet again, like I said, everyone's talking about what happened with Crosby, and that was a violent collision into the boards. It really was. He was flying, man. But what I have sensed is, there's a portion of the hockey fan base that almost wants this to go sideways so that they can blame Pittsburgh and blame the NHL and yell and scream about concussion protocols and why they don't take it seriously
enough. I love the outrage, though, Brian. If this was Tom Sestito flying over the thing, we're not having SportsCenter discussions. We're not having quiz questions. We're not doing any of that garbage, and it's just the fake outrage because it's Crosby. He's a smart enough guy where I'm sure if he gets up and says, I'm fine, I don't feel it. He's had them before, and if he doesn't, why can't he stay in the game?
I don't know, guys. I just think even though the NHL can explain their protocols and the way it's written out, just to me, when a guy who's had that many concussions has had one, whatever it was, 4 days before and goes in that hard, what is the harm of taking 2 minutes and going off the ice and being looked at, even though you say you're fine? There's been a lot of guys who said they're fine. And I know it worked out fine in this circumstance, but I just, man,
well, I think
if it had gone the other way.
That's the thing. Now what people want is to err on the side of caution, which when it comes to concussions, I know there's a lot of studies out there, but there's no definitive answer. Yeah, you can get a concussion, or if you're diagnosed with one, yeah, but what level of it? I've had friends, including myself, I had a concussion where I was knocked out, and I was fine 2 days later. But I've had teammates who had a shot on the chin, and they're out 2 months because the recovery, for some reason, it hit them differently. That's the one thing. James, I agree with you on a point where erring on the side of caution, you always want what's best for the person, the player, the league, the face of the franchise. Sidney Crosby's the face of the NHL.
Well, and that's why it is a story, because you can't compare him to Sestito, because he is Sid. He's
right.
The man.
And recently he had a concussion. There was no doubting that. The only thing I will say is there are specialists far more knowledgeable than I am, and anybody here on this panel, that's what they do for a living. And I'd be shocked if Sidney Crosby's seeing a guy with a diploma off of a
computer. No, he's not. Listen.
That's the only thing is, what bothered me is there's a lot of doctors out there on Twitter and a lot of doctors with opinions and that are saying, oh, if it was me. Well, you're not dealing with the patient. You're not dealing with it. Sid's dealing with his medical staff and that. And if they're clearing him, then it's on them.
Here's the thing, though. What I think this is really all about is that there are a lot of fans that don't believe the NHL actually knows their own rule book, but furthermore is ever consistent with it. We have talked countlessly for a month about what is goaltender interference,
right.
What should be happening with the offside calls and all that kind of stuff. And I think specifically with goaltender interference, because it's so subjective, a lot of fans come in the next day and they're like, what was that? You got it wrong. Or do you even know what you're supposed to be doing? Do you even know what you're looking for?
Right.
And I think this is another example that is much more sensitive much more sensitive. But fans are asking for some clarity, and they don't feel like the NHL has any clarity.
But there is no clarity on concussions, I just said.
No, but with spotting them, though, Noodles, there can be. If you look at a guy who's got a history of concussion problems that goes into the boards that violently but and gets up a bit slow.
But a history of concussion problems shouldn't matter.
Absolutely it should.
Why?
Because it's a brain injury.
You're right. But if you're deemed 100%, they don't tie together. That's where the misnomer is. They don't tie together. You don't go, oh, because you've had one, you can have one easier.
You can't have one easier, Noodles, but the fact that there is more danger in there being long-term repercussions when you've had multiple ones.
Exactly.
Do you not think if Sidney Crosby had a concussion, he would have just skated off the ice? Like, let's be honest here.
Probably, but I'm saying if you go to him and you say, you've got to go down the hallway for 2 minutes, what is that? Does that change his career?
No. I agree with that. Like you, but all I'm saying is that they did not allow him back at 89% or 94%.
I'm not suggesting that the two are tied, though.
That's what I'm saying.
But that wasn't the question, Noodles, whether or not he was still suffering from the previous one and this knocked him back into concussion.
Right.
This, I think people were looking at this, understandably so, saying, wow, look at him fly into the boards, man.
And what you're saying now, then, is every major hit, like every like bone-crushing check, both guys got to go.
I honestly think that's where people I'm with you. I don't know how to answer that question.
There's a big discussion here, but the small discussion is on the protocols. And they've tried to define these really particularly in when the spotters can take a guy off the ice. And the problem that the NHL tried to explain today is when you hit the boards, that's not necessarily one of them.
Right.
And I understand why they probably did that is because there's so many collisions with the boards during a game that they don't want everybody who gets getting hit in the boards having to go off.
Right.
But don't you think that it's so hard to define these things by saying, okay, he has to hit his head on the ice or the boards. I think you have to take them just one by one. That was an extremely violent collision against the boards. And to me, that should be an automatic.
Right.
You look at it, and that's not in their language right now. That the boards is not one of those places that automatically requires a spotter to take you off the ice.
And I do think that is what is leading to some fans feeling confused, is the language doesn't always add up to what actually
and
happens.
And it's a hard thing. Look, hockey's a hard game to sit there and define these specific rules to because it's...
It's also not fair to Sid to treat him completely different than everyone else because of his history or what have you. I mean, at some point you gotta let him play, and if he's gonna get hit, he's gonna get hit.
Right.
But I'm with you. That was not your normal hockey
physical
play.
Here's another thing. He got a stick earlier in the face. That could have been a concussion too. It cut his nose. That's just as much of a concussion situation as that collision with the boards.
Well, so, with a guy with a history, you're right. Sometimes little things can.
But that's the thing. I played with Jeff Courtnell. Jeff Courtnell kept trying to come back and come back. Obviously, he wasn't 100% because I was there when his career ended. He got a tap on the chin that was not egregious, but that was it for him.
I just think that no matter how the league can justify it and maybe make a sensible explanation, and I'm sure when Pronger comes on, he will do that, I just think the optics are really bad.
That's the thing, the optics are very bad.
When you're the face of the game or one of the faces of the game who's just come off a concussion, goes into the boards like that, and then he just starts playing again, no matter how you explain it or no matter how the rules are written, it just doesn't feel right. And that's the problem that most viewers have.
All right, buddy, we'll catch you on the panel tonight. You guys working out the quiz, I think, tonight. You got a couple versions
quiz action
going on.
With both your colleagues on there. Very exciting.
All right, we're looking forward to that. Catch you on SportsCenter.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Cash me outside. How about that?
Did you see that David Spade got roasted by the Cash Me Outside girl on Instagram?
By the way, I thought of it. When it's a bad joke, okay, jumping the shark sort of means something's gone. Mm-hmm. But on your show, if you guys tell a joke that's just a little too much, it's humping the shark. You've gone
humping
too far.
Shark.
I'll take that.
Right?
That's a good definition for this show. Don't hump the shark.
Mark, you've got to get the Jaws followed up by some porn music coming in next, okay?
All right, we'll get to the Grit Grinder. Chris Pronger in about 20 minutes.
We got to get into this Matt Harvey stuff, too. This is some goofy stuff.
We'll touch on that. He's in some trouble.
Yeah, he is. He should be completely embarrassed.
He got caught. He absolutely got caught. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Chris Pronger will join us in about 10 minutes.
We have a theme song for Florida Guy. The guy that gears down and gets on a shark?
Allegedly could be Jim McElwain, the head coach of the Florida Gators.
It is him. Well, let's just say, until he proves it not.
I like that, man. Just keep playing the Jaws music all afternoon.
And the porn music.
Andrew texting in saying, how big of a have an idea did Jim McElwain get from his wife after she saw that pick? Imagine trying to explain that to your wife. Yeah, we were on a boys' trip. We were out on the boat, and I was so gooned, I geared down and decided to mount a shark.
I've got some
what's for dinner?
Guys' trips horror stories, not hanging up the phone at appropriate times. If you have any gentlemen's trips horror stories, text, tweet, at HaysTSN. We want to hear them.
At HaysTSN, email us live at tsn1050.ca or text us 1050-50.
Horror stories gone wrong on guys' trips.
Yes.
All right, don't name names. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't send us pics. Don't be that guy. We got a guy.
Yeah, we can't send. We can't send pics.
We got a guy who thinks it's funny to take naked.
We got a guy who drinks too much on the boat and gets naked with sharks.
That is terrible.
All right, Chris Pronger in about 10 minutes. More Jaws theme songs throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.